Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, welcome to Christ Covenant. I'm the senior pastor here. My name's Ryan Weems. We're so glad that you're here with us. We know the weather's not so great outside, but it feels pretty good in here. And so we're excited about what God's doing. And today's a special day, really not because of the Super Bowl, because we're all Texans fans here, right? And maybe some of us are Cowboys fans, and we have grace for them. I'm from Dallas, if you didn't know, and so I'm learning to love the Texans. But today's a special day, not because of that, but because of this new series that we start called Love Songs. And honestly, whether you're single, single again, engaged, or married, this series is for you. Because when you look at the landscape of America and our relationships, romantic and non-romantic, I think we'd all agree that our relationships are under attack. They really are. There's a lot of us that are struggling, and this is especially true for those of us that are married. According to a statistic from the APA, the American Psychological Association, anywhere from 40 to 50% of marriages end in divorce. Now, that's not good odds for those of us that are married, and we need to know this, that when a divorce takes place, there's really not a winner. No one wins when divorce happens. But again, it's not just our romantic relationships. It's also way beyond that to other relationships as well. In fact, if I could just be honest and transparent with you, most of our non-romantic relationships, friendships, family relationships, they're rocky as well. There's a lot of bitterness that goes on, anger, strife, emotional scarring, manipulation. Really, our marriages, our relationships, they are in trouble. And the reason why I say all of that is to say this: God has a better way. And God has hope for you. God has hope for me. There is a better way that God has for us. And so over the next 4 weeks, I got to tell you, we're going to have a lot of fun. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through verse by verse through the majority of the Song of Solomon. The Bible, you may not know this, is not just one book. It's made up of 66 books. And the Song of Solomon is one of those. And if you've never read it before, I got to tell you, you're in for a treat. And if you've read it before, you know exactly why I'm saying that. And honestly, I believe this series is going to change our lives. I think it's going to change our relationships for the better. And so today, part one is kind of like an introduction, letting you know where we're going in this series. And so I want to first talk about quickly the book's background, the Song of Solomon, and also the author's background to set the stage, especially for those of us that are new to church and new to the Bible. The author of the Song of Solomon, to no one's surprise, is Solomon. And Solomon is an incredible man in the Word of God. He was the third king of Israel. You have King Saul, King David, Solomon's father, and then you've got King Solomon. Solomon, you need to know this, he wrote most of the Proverbs, very famous part of the Bible, not all of it, but most of it. He wrote all of Ecclesiastes, and he wrote all of the Song of Solomon. And if you go to your Word, you see those books in that order. You've got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then the Song of Solomon. And really, literally, this book, the Song of Solomon, is better translated as the Song of Songs. And here's why. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 is just a reference. You don't need to turn there. It tells us that Solomon, he wrote 1,005 songs. Like, how many songs have you written? Like, he wrote 1,005 songs. Like, hashtag no big deal, right? Like, it was a big deal. And so the Song of Solomon was his Song of Songs. So you could almost think of it like this, that it was the biggest hit from his best-selling album. That's what we're about to go through in this series. When people would think about Solomon, they would go back to this song. It's powerful. It's incredible. And he wrote this song somewhere around 900 to 960 BC before Christ. And throughout this song, or throughout this book in the Bible, you need to know this, that there are three different people that are speaking. In fact, it jumps back and forth between them. So this would be a good series to follow along with me in your Bible or in your Bible app, because it lets you know who's speaking and when. So here's the three different people, just so we're on the same page. The first one is Solomon, and you'll see in your Bible that he's described as the lover. So when you see the lover, that's Solomon speaking. The second person is the beloved, or Solomon's future wife and wife, and we'll talk about that. And then the third type group of people is the friends. How many of y'all know that's pretty much how we do our relationships, right? The people in it and then the people outside it like to chime in when we're in relationships. That's what's happening. That's who's speaking throughout this incredible and powerful book. And you're going to see time and time again that this is not just some random book in the Bible, but really it's a poem. And so in fact, as we read many different things, you're probably going to end the reading a little bit confused. I don't know about you, but anytime I read a poem, it usually takes me like 10 times just till I understand what's going on. And that's going to be the case here. But here's why I'm here. I'm here to study and to research throughout the week to let you know what it's saying, okay? So I'm going to be your best friend. I'm asking for you to give me 4 weeks, and I'm going to explain to you what in the world that means that we just read. And it's going to be helpful for each of us today. You also need to know, just giving you an introduction here, there's some interesting things that Solomon says in this song. In fact, I'm going to give you just one example, okay? There's a part in the psalm, we'll read it, I think the third week, but there's a part where Solomon, he's talking to his bride, his amazing, significant other, and he's like, baby, I love you, and he's going on and on about how great she is, and then he says this, your stomach is like a mound of wheat. Just gonna let that sit there for just a second. Guys, just a heads up, don't say that to your wife or your girlfriend. But some of the things that he says, your stomach is like a mound of wheat. And believe it or not, that was actually a compliment back then, probably not a compliment today. But those are some of the things that we're gonna read in this song. And so we're gonna have some fun together. You're also gonna notice, and if you read this, you know, but this song, this book in the Bible, is a little bit shocking. In fact, I'm going to read some things and you're going to ask yourself, is that really in the Bible? Is that really in there? I'll put it to you this way. This song is spicy, y'all. Like spicy. I'm just telling you, people say all the time, the Bible is boring. No, it's not. You're boring. I'm just saying. Like the Bible is R-rated, maybe even on to like the X-rated. I'm just letting you know. I've read it many times cover to cover. And there's a lot of spicy things in there. And so we're going to read it. If you want a pastor that's going to gloss over the Bible, you're at the wrong church. I'm just letting you know. And so we're going to read it. And if you can get mad at anybody, get mad at God, because it's not my book. It's his book. He made sure it was in there. So we're gonna have some fun. And I said this last week, and I'll say it again for those that are new. And it's a joke, but I'm also serious. This would be a great series to use our incredible children's ministry. Like it really would. We don't do childcare. We minister to children 6 weeks old through fifth grade. We've got amazing volunteers, amazing classrooms for them. It will be PG-13 rated, especially next week. I'm giving you warning because we're talking all about sex next week, because that's what's in the word when we get to that part of Song of Solomon. So it'd be a great week to use that. Now, maybe you've got a teenager that's with you today, and maybe you're thinking, well, should they be here? And I got to tell you, yes. They should be here. We want our sixth graders and up in here, because I got to tell you, they're going to learn about sex somewhere. They're learning about it already, whether you believe it or not, in the locker room. They're learning about it already in the lunchroom, from their friends, from TV and movies. I don't know about y'all, but I'd rather our teenagers learn about sex and how to have healthy relationships in God's house than somebody else's house. So they're right where they need to be. And again, we're going to have some fun. We will laugh. We will blush, and we will definitely learn together these next 4 weeks. And I'm asking for 4 weeks. It's going to be awesome. All right, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. This is the title today. This is where we start in Song of Solomon. The title is this, The Art of Attraction. The Art of Attraction. That's where the Song of Solomon starts. The Art of Attraction. As you're jotting that down, here's the application today if you're single or single again. Today, you're going to find out from God's word what you should be looking for in someone else. Like, what should be the top characteristics that you're looking for in Mr. Right or Miss Right? Like, what should you be looking for? We know what the world says, but what should godly people be looking for? You're going to learn that today. We're going to see at the very beginning what attracted Solomon to his future wife and vice versa. And we're going to find out that the order of attraction is important as well. Here's the application today. If you're married, like my wife and I, maybe you've been married for decades. Here's the application for you. And it sounds a little funny, but again, I'm being serious. What you're going to find out today is that you need to work hard again at becoming more attractive to your spouse. Like, you need to work hard again. Because here's what I know. When we're pursuing our girlfriend to become our wife, and when we're pursuing our future husband, we go all in. We've got romantic letters, and I mean, nobody even sends letters anymore, but we still do it when we're dating somebody, and we're texting, and guys, we even use emojis, you know, and we're trying to, like, we break those out, not for anybody else, but for her, and we take her on dates, and I mean, it's just incredible what we do, but here's what happens. Once we finally get married, it stops, and I got to tell you, it shouldn't be that way. And so for those of us that are married, we're going to learn again what we should do and how we should live. And it's going to be helpful for all of us. And so if you could, before we start reading, could you bow your heads with me? And let's pray one more time, and then we'll jump right into the text. Lord, I love you so much. We love you. We thank you for what you're going to do today, really what you've already done. And we just pray for each one of us. God, this is one of those series and one of those messages that is so needed. But here's the truth. There would be an opportunity for those of us that maybe have some struggle. There would be an opportunity for us to think, you know, this message is for somebody else. Like, maybe we're married and we're not very happy in that marriage. And this would be a kind of series and a kind of message where it'd be easy for us to elbow the person beside us. But God, that's not what you've called us to do. I pray that we listen to this message and this series with what you want to speak and do in us personally. Let's not worry about our spouse or maybe our girlfriend or our boyfriend or that person that we're thinking about dating down the road. Let's worry about and be concerned with us, of how we can be better, of how we can learn, how we can grow, and how we can do things your way and not the world's way, because the world's way is not working. We need something new and something different. So God, I just pray that you speak clearly to every heart. Help us to have fun as we learn together. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not there already, you can turn to Song of Solomon. A little hard to find if you're not used to your Bible. Of course, if you've got a Bible app, you can follow along as well. And if you don't got any of that and you're listening in the room, we'll have a giant Bible on the screen. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Let's begin. Solomon's Song of Songs. That's the first verse, so we know where we're at. Verse 2, this is the beloved speaking, so Solomon's future bride. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. I told y'all this is a poem. No wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chambers. Here's where the friends chime in. We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. Here's the woman again. And the reason why I keep referring her to the woman is because we don't know her name. Here's her again in this section. How right they are to adore you. Dark am I, yet lovely. Daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. My mother's sons, so her stepbrothers, were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. My own vineyard I had to neglect. Let's hit pause for just a second. Let me explain something. In our culture today, everybody wants to be tan. Right? Like, we want that. If you don't know this, I married a full-blooded Hispanic woman, and she is just awesome. And y'all can tell that she's the Hispanic one and not me, okay? I'm just a little white boy. That's just who I am. And so we've got two kids, and I talk about my oldest a lot because he's 5. And he inherited the Hispanic genes, and we love that because literally he can be outside 5 seconds even in this weather, and he's tan. Just how it works. Me, on the other hand, I can be outside for 5 seconds and I go from white to red. That's just how it works for me. And so we want to be tan in our culture, right? We go to tanning salons. We go to the beach, right? We like to be tan. Women, right? They wear tanning cream, fake tanning cream, and bronzers and all that kind of, like, we want to be tan. But back then in Bible times, people did not want to be tan. And here's why. You need to know this. People didn't want to be tan back then because it represented you working in the fields. And especially as a woman, you didn't want to be thought of that way because you didn't just have tan skin, but usually you had rough hands, usually you had rough feet, and usually you had rough skin as well. And so when she says in verse 5, "Dark am I, yet lovely," she's saying something very important, that not only is Solomon, King Solomon, not only is he attracted to her by her outer beauty, and she is beautiful, but there's something deeper there. And you didn't hear that today. That not only is the king attracted to her physical beauty, but it's way more than skin deep, y'all. She's beautiful from the inside out. It shows us something, that this is important. Verse 7, let's keep going. "Tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday." This is a great question she asks, and we'll talk about it here in a moment. "Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends?" Here's the friends chiming in again, verse 8. "If you do not know, most beautiful of women, follow the tracks of the sheep and graze your young goats by the tents of the shepherds." Remember, I told y'all it's a poem, okay? So let me break this down quickly today. In fact, if you're taking notes, get ready to write this down. We see buried beneath the text the first type of attraction, and the order is important. Here's number one, spiritual attraction. I hope you'll write that down. It's there. It's just buried. But God, what he's talking about here between Solomon and his bride is a spiritual attraction. This is where they started in their relationship. And friend, hear me loud and clear. This is where you should start as well. We desperately, desperately, desperately need to get back to God's ways. And so often for us, the physical is number one. Their status in society, how much money they have, is number one. And God's saying there is a better way. We start with the spiritual. So if you're married today, hear me and hear me clearly. If you want to get the spark back in your marriage, you start with getting closer to God. I tell you, I'm preaching a lot better than I'm getting feedback today. I hope you're going to help me out. But like, if you want the spark back, like, you've got to pursue God. And as you pursue God, it's like that old school illustration. Maybe you heard it before, the spiritual triangle. As you both go after God in your marriage, you actually get closer together. It's what God does. And if you're single, hear me loud and clear today, that you don't need to pursue them as much as you need to pursue God. If you want to find the one, then maybe you should go after God first, because he's the one for everybody. I'm just saying. We start with the spiritual. We start there. I want to give you a few examples from the text here of how this plays out practically. So I've got sub points today. That's how good it's going to be, y'all. Don't just got points. I got sub points, okay? So point number one, part A. Hope you'll jot this down. This is the way that you flesh this out in your life, the practical. You need to love and honor God. Love and honor God. When you look at verse 3, it was emboldened on the screen behind me a little while ago. When you look at verse 3, this woman, she's speaking to Solomon, and she says, "Your name is like perfume poured out." You remember reading that? "Your name is like perfume poured out." And here's what she's saying. She's saying that, yeah, you're the king, and yeah, you got, like, you're wise, all that kind of stuff, but your reputation is stellar. That's what she goes to instantly. And guys, you need to listen up to this. She says, "You know what? Your name, when people talk about you, Solomon, they talk about how trustworthy you are. They talk about your great character, that you're a man of your word, that it has the highest value." That's why she talks about perfume. It has the highest value. And so I want to call out to the men, and I'm talking to myself as well. Let's get back to God's standards here, and let's become men of our word. Like, let's become men that are trustworthy, that when our neighbors talk about us, when our coworkers talk about us, the first thing they talk about is not how upset we are at the world or how much money we have or don't have. The first thing that they say is that that man is a man of integrity, That man is a man of character. I'm calling us to a higher standard today, that we would love and honor God with everything that we are. Here's the second subpoint, letter B. Fulfill your God-given purpose. Now, we don't see this specifically in the verses we just read, but it's all throughout the Bible. Very practical. Fulfill your God-given purpose. If you're married today, I got to tell you that your marriage is so much more than being business partners, that you file together when tax season comes around, that you share responsibility with the bills. Your marriage is meant to be so much more than that. In fact, I'll tell you this, you need to be a part together of something bigger than your marriage. You need to together serve and be a part of something that's way beyond you, something that lasts for eternity. And guess what? God's given you the vehicle and it's the church. And when I encourage people to volunteer, oh, there he goes again. They just want more volunteers. No, it's not just for us, it's for you. I'm telling you, when you serve together in our kids' ministry, when you're ushering, like ushing together, is that what you say? I don't know. Like when you're greeting together, when you're doing something that's bigger than yourselves, God does something in you. It's a spiritual, biblical principle that when you serve others for God's glory, he does something in you. Ask anybody that's ever been on a missions trip. God did more in them than through them on that trip. We see it time and time again. So some of you, your marriage is pay the bills, go to sleep, work, pay the bills, go to sleep, work. It's over and over again, and God's got more for you. You need to fulfill your God-given purpose. If you're not married, I got to tell you, there's no better place than to find your future spouse than the church. You want to find them at a club? You want to find them at a bar? I'm just saying, this is a great place for us to fulfill our God-given purpose. Letter C, the last one. We need to keep godly standards. I'm trying to help you become more spiritually attractive, to keep godly standards. When you look at the end of verse 7, what we read, she asked the question, it was a great question. Why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? And here's what she's talking about. It's very clear when you do the research. She's talking about being sexually pure. That's what she's talking about. A veiled woman back then was a prostitute. And so here's what she's saying, literally. Why should I be like every other girl that when they like somebody, they sleep with them? That's what she's saying. Why should I just give myself away to anybody? Instead, that's the world's way, by the way. Instead, I'm gonna hold out for honor. And if you've already made mistakes, I've got good news for you. Start today to hold out for honor. You were bought with a price. We just sang about it. We just talked about it. God has more for you. So instead of doing what the world does, because it ain't working, y'all. Y'all know it. It ain't working. Instead of doing it that way, we're going to do it God's ways. Let me talk to the single people in the room again. Maybe the young adults, maybe even the teenagers. But let me talk to you that if you're not married, but you're interested in somebody else, you need to have that conversation now. Like now. Like, put all the chips into the middle of the table. Hey, I like you. You're pretty. I like you. I like to date sometime. But I just want you to know that I've got standards. They're God's standards. And it's not going to go physical. Just want you to know that. Maybe you have before, and maybe even you have, but like today, and you're already dating somebody, you need to let them know, hey, we're not taking it physical until the wedding night. Why? Because we're going to honor God, and when we honor God, we're going to have the best relationship of anybody else. Yes, set the standards. If you already made a mistake, there's not condemnation, there's hope. You can start today. You can start today. Let's keep picking up, or keep reading and pick up in verse 9. Still in chapter 1. Now, it's kind of funny to me, but Solomon has not talked yet in his entire book. Finally, in verse 9, he can talk. Any guys relate to that? Anyways. I just lost half the audience. I'm sorry. So this is the lover talking. This is Solomon. I liken you, my darling. And that's not just some cute little pet nickname. We're going to explain that here a little bit later. To a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. I'm going to let that sit there for a second. He just called her a horse. Good back then, fellas, hear me loud and clear. Not good today, okay? It really was a compliment back then. Verse 10, he keeps going. Your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. Here's her talking again, verse 12. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. I told y'all I'd be PG-13, okay? I warned you. Be mad at God, not mad at me. Verse 14, my beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyards of En-Gedi. Here's a second type of attraction buried beneath the text we just read. Number two, you see emotional attraction. Remember, the order's important, y'all. Hear me loud and clear. Spiritual attraction first, then emotional attraction. Let me give you a couple more practical examples. I'm trying to help you out. I want you to win in your relationships. Here's the first subpoint, letter A underneath point number two. We've got to develop a friendship. We got to connect emotionally. So I'm talking to everybody right now. We start with the spiritual. We're going after God together. We've got right priorities. It's God first, not them. God first. But then after that, we've got to focus on developing a friendship. So if you're dating somebody, make sure that you're becoming friends with them. If you've already been married for years, you need to renew that friendship. We've gotten way too comfortable with just being good roommates as married people. God has a better way for us. At the beginning of verse 9, Solomon calls her my darling, my darling. And when you do the research, and I have, and you look at the original language, which is Hebrew here in the Old Testament, that word darling has significance. Here's what it means. I hope you'll write this down. It means friendship and companionship. So here is literally what he's saying. You are my best friend. That's what he's saying. And married folk, hear me. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be best friends. There's no one that I'm closer with than my wife. Like, no one I'd rather hang out with. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all are fun, but she's more fun. Just saying. Like, we are best friends. And that's what God wants for you. And it's easier to start this way when you're dating than trying to course correct later on. Is it impossible? No. So if you've been married for decades and you're so far apart, yeah, same house, maybe same bed, but you have nothing in common, you can still start again. God does the impossible all the time. All the time. There is hope for you, but you got to develop a friendship. God wants you to enjoy spending time together. Do something together that you both enjoy. Let's all be honest. For many of us, we'd much rather spend time with our friends at the coffee shop or our buddies watching the game at some place than spending time with our spouse. And God has a better way, a better way. In fact, and you need to hear this, one of the things that we do a lot as pastors is we counsel people all the time. And we take counseling classes in Bible college, and you know that's a part of what I did in my preparation. But I got to tell you, I'm not a licensed counselor, and I've said that many times. But we counsel a lot. And I'll sit down with couples. This is true. I'll sit down with couples, and their marriage is broken. Like, broken. Maybe they filed. Maybe they're on the verge of filing. Like, marriage is broken. And we'll be talking, and they'll be sharing. And you can just see that even though they're seated beside each other, they're oceans apart. I mean, there's a huge separation. And I can tell you this is truth. Hear this warning from the Lord. That as we're talking, I'll ask him a question like this. Well, tell me, I know things are bad, and I know he did this, and she did this. I get all that, but let me just ask you a question. I can ask them, when's the last time you had fun together? And almost always, if not always, the answer is this. Pastor, it's been a long time. They're no longer connecting emotionally. And I got to tell you, if you want healthy relationships, if you want healthy marriages, you got to connect emotionally. And guys, hear me. I know emotional connection is almost like a dirty word. I get that. But I'm just telling you, if she ain't going to get it from you, she's going to try to get it from somebody else. I'm just speaking truth today. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to show you from God's word. You connect spiritually and then you connect emotionally. God wants you to be friends. So I'll talk about my wife and I a little bit longer. So we have different hobbies. Like, we like different things. We're not the same person. In fact, she's better in like every way than me. I married up, y'all. Y'all know. I don't got to tell you. I'm preaching to the choir here. But I'm just telling you, we're different. So one of the things I love, and I've told you this before if you heard me speak, but I love sports, and she does not like sports. Like, I love sports, okay? Like, I like sports. I play sport. I like sports. She does not. And even though she does not, she'll still sit down and watch some of a game with me. Like some, not all, but some. And she's trying. And even though I like to go see movies where stuff like blows up, you know, and like there's Marvel characters involved, even though that's my type of movie, she'll still go with me. But that also means that I go see the rom-coms with her. And I don't throw a fit the whole time, even though I want to sometimes. Like, I don't complain. I'm just telling you, we've got to take part. If your hobby is not the same, that's still okay. You can enjoy something with her, and then she can enjoy something with you. Find a hobby. Develop a friendship. It's vital. We got to connect again. Here's letter B. Encourage, don't discourage. And this is probably the word for many. Like, out of everything I'm going to say, this is probably the word, especially for some married people. Encourage, don't discourage. You see, all throughout this book, including what we just read, that they are constantly encouraging each other. And even after they get married, and we're going to talk about that next week, still constantly encouraging one another. This is key. I've preached it before, and I'll preach it again, because it's in the word. There is life and death with our tongues. Like, our words will build up, or they will tear down. There's usually not a middle ground. You're tearing somebody down or you're building somebody up. That's usually what takes place. And we've got to get back to that spot where we're encouraging and not discouraging. Far too often, y'all know this to be true, and it's true in my life some, but far too often we speak the worst to people we love the most. I've been there. Not pointing fingers, like I've been there. Because here's what we do. We incorrectly assume that they'll always be there. And y'all know that's not true. We've got to encourage, not discourage. Let me talk to the married people for just a moment here. I'm going to talk to the husbands first. Not pointing fingers at you. I'm calling us to a higher standard. We should be our wives' biggest encourager. Like, they shouldn't find it from a coworker or a best friend. Like, they should find it from us. And so I got a challenge for you. And we're not pointing fingers. It's from this day forward. That from this day forward, you wouldn't want let one day go by without telling you her you love her. That from this day forward, you wouldn't let one day go by without telling her how beautiful she is. She needs to hear, well, you know what? When we were dating, I told her all the time. Yeah, that was 20 years ago. Well, she just knows. No, she doesn't. Ladies, y'all should have amen that. I'm trying to help you out today. Like, you got to tell her. Like, I'm joking, but I'm serious. Y'all feel me? Like, you got to tell her that you love her, that she's beautiful constantly. Wise, let me talk to you for a second. You need to be your husband's biggest fan. Like, biggest cheerleader he's got. Not a best friend. Not something like, you need to encourage him. I know you're driving somewhere, and he won't use the GPS. I know. And he's lost, and he knows it, and you know it. I get it. I'm speaking for a friend, by the way. Y'all should see my wife in the front row, man. She can't stop laughing. But, like, let him be lost. Like, let him figure it out. And when he does figure it out, don't antagonize him for it, you know? Like, I know it's taken him 3 hours to put together that piece of furniture. I know. He ain't Bob the Builder. Again, speaking for a friend. But when he finishes, you say, that's the best cabinet I've ever seen. Guys, y'all know this is true. Like, when I mowed, this is crazy about Houston. I mowed my lawn a few days ago in January. That's Houston. Like, for real, mowed my lawn. So a few days ago, I was mowing my lawn. And I got to tell you, whenever I'm done, I want Isabel to say good job. I do. In fact, if she doesn't say anything, I go to her. And usually she does, but a couple of days ago she didn't. So I went to her. I said, babe, you see that lawn? See how good that was? That was me. I didn't hire somebody. That was me. And when she tells me it's a good job, I'm just telling you. Guys, we're like little kids. Let's just be honest, you know? Like, we need that encouragement. We do. In all seriousness, when she encourages me, I feel like I can run through a wall. I really do. There's like nothing I can't do when she is on my side. And ladies, that's what your husband needs. We've got to encourage and not discourage. Again, if they're not going to get it from you, somebody else is going to try to take your place. Let me say a harsh word to you, but I think it's important, and we'll move on to the last point. Is that if they're not getting that encouragement from you, there's a coworker that will try to give it to them. There's an old friend back from high school that will try to give it to him. I am convinced, because I've seen it time and time again, that affairs are not really about the physical, they're about the emotional. And I'm just speaking truth today from God's word. Not trying to put fear in anybody. I'm trying to give you a warning from God that they need that from you and no one else. Let's keep going. Point number three. Well, actually, before we get to that, let's read a couple more verses. Verse 15. This is Solomon talking. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Beloved, how handsome you are, my beloved. Oh, how charming. Our bed is verdant. The beams of our house are cedars and our rafters are firs. Here's the last type of attraction very quickly. Number three, physical attraction. We see all throughout this book, especially the verses that we've read, that they are obviously attracted to each other. And we just read them talking about how beautiful and how handsome that they are. And I want to tell you today that the physical attraction is important, but it's not most important. I'm just telling you that physical attraction, it can fade. Not saying it will, but it can fade. Ladies, he ain't always going to have a six-pack. Like, it ain't always going to be thick up on top. It's going to get thick in other places, like back included. But so many relationships are built on the physical. That's the world's way. And then when you feel like you're not attractive there, you go online to try to find it. I'm telling you, that's not healthy. Physical is important, but it's not most important. Here's why I want to end today. Don't turn there yet, and please don't show the slide yet. But when you fast forward a little bit to chapter 2, verse 7, we see an incredible moment. That's how we'll land this plane. We see an incredible moment with Solomon and his future bride. As we've just read, they are connecting, y'all. Like, it is, it's good. They're like, they are connecting. Spiritual connection. Emotional. I mean, it's almost like Lionel Richie is singing in the background. I mean, it is good. It is good. So there they are. We're going to read it in a second. There they are. And there's the temptation to go physical before they're married. There's that temptation. Hey, I love you. You love me. I'm attracted to you in so many ways. And you can see the temptation. But in chapter 2, verse 7, they say something very powerful, and it's how we'll end. Here's what they say. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field. How awesome is that? Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. What are they saying? Here's what they're saying. That we're not going to go physical until we're married. It's exactly what they're saying here. That I love you and you love me. And we know what the world says. I mean, y'all seen the TV shows just like I have. The movies, you've heard the love songs that are current. And even though the world says that we should go physical, we're not. We're going to hold out for honor. And I got to tell you, when you do that, God honors you. And he blesses your relationship. God's calling us back to a place where we keep his standards and no one else's. Let's pray. God, I pray for my friends. Pray for those listening live in this room and those listening online. I pray, God, they learn something from your word. The same way that you've been teaching me this last week, I pray that you've been teaching them. God, whether they're single, single again, engaged or married, whether they're young or old, you have a word for them. You have a better way. And I pray right now, even Holy Spirit, as eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I pray right now that you would confirm whatever point or whatever sub-point was for them. Or maybe, Holy Spirit, you want to speak something else that I didn't even talk about. You have free reign right now. Speak to their hearts, we pray. Even now that you'd point out, hey, this is where I want you to get better. Hey, this is what you need to tweak. This is what you need to change. Jesus, mold us to be more like you. The world's ways don't work, but your ways, God, they always work. You're calling us back to a place where we have the right priorities. We focus on you, put you first. eyes still closed, heads bowed all across this place. No one's looking but me. We're almost done. One thing we do every single week, and it's honestly my favorite part of every service, is we give you in this room and you listening online a chance to respond to the Lord. I always pictured a church that wasn't just about people sitting down and they hear a message and then they go home, but that we'd have such tender hearts that we would respond to what God is doing. And the way we respond around here is not making you come down to the front most services. We don't usher you off to another room. But here's the amazing thing about God, that right where you're seated, he can speak to you and move in your life. He can change you. But he's looking for a people that would surrender to him. So I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to give you a chance to respond. As we sang about earlier and talked about all throughout this message, Jesus loves you so much. And it wasn't just something he said with his words, but he demonstrated it with his life. And we think about the season that we're coming upon here in April, Good Friday, where Jesus sacrificed it all for you and for me on the cross. In Easter, Resurrection Sunday, where we celebrate that death could not hold him back. Jesus gave it all, friend, for you. You can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but he paid your debt. And all he's looking for is a man or a woman that would surrender their life to him. He's already done the work. All you have to do is surrender. Before we rush off to our activities today, this is your moment to respond to him. So eyes closed, no one looking but me. But if that's you, that you're far from God, you look at your relationship with him and you know it's not where it needs to be. There's a separation. It's your sin. If that's you today, that even though that's reality for your life, you want to surrender to him and get things right. You want to go from a path that leads to hell to a path that leads to heaven and life eternal with Jesus. You're far from God, but you want to surrender your life to him. All I'm going to do, again, not going to usher you somewhere else, right where you're seated, all I'm going to do is ask you to lift up your hand so I could pray for you and lead you in a prayer. If that's you in this room and you're far from God, thank you so much. You can lift up your hand now. You can put it down. You can put it down. Thank you so much. God's moving. God's moving. Don't miss your moment. Thank you. You can put it down. Anybody else? God, you're so good. You can respond online as well. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Anybody else? Here's what we want to do. Eyes still closed, please, honoring the moment. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing. Those that raised their hand in this room and anybody that responded online, I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer, prayer of surrender, like we're talking about. But here's the cool thing about it. You're not going to say this prayer alone. There's many men and women around you who have said this prayer at one other point in their life, and they've surrendered their life to Jesus, and they're going to say it out loud with you. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It represents you not being alone in your new journey. So it won't just be your voice, but many voices surrendering their life to Jesus. And God hears you, he loves you, and he knows you. And if you say this and mean it with all your heart, you will be saved. So those that raise their hand and all the Christ followers as support, say this out loud after me and repeat or and mean it with all your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, come on, you can do it louder than that. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. It's not a fairy tale. It really happened. Jesus, I surrender. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Can y'all give God an awesome cheer? Come on, don't save it for the Super Bowl. We love you, Lord.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.